Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? What an exciting time to be covering the news. As yesterday, we've covered the social media aspect of the war. It's pretty fascinating to see how pissed off and enraged the Zionists are, the Jews. As Rekkle says, are they trying to shut this stream down? I don't think so. I think we're live, and so check it on your side, but I think we are live for everyone. I'll do a relatively short show tonight. I had an offer for insemination that came in, a beautiful woman, and very clear that she is on the program of making babies. I told you guys that the level of exposure was unprecedented in terms of my personal story, and it's paying off. I mean, this so I have to do a short show because I'll be calling her after the show. She's a Fed. Well, yeah, you always have to be careful about these things. I cannot tell you for sure that she's not a Fed, but. You have to engage with all of them and test and make your own checks, you know. But I have no reason to believe she's a Fed. She sent me this beautiful photo of her. And so all day I was working so hard. I put her photo on my cell phone and I just laid it out here. So she was looking over me as I was doing my work. I felt like I was... I felt I was looked at by a god of some sort, a goddess of some sort, that was, and it gave me pleasure in my work. The idea that a beautiful woman was right there, looking over me, caring for my safety and my well resolution of my work. Frog Eyes says, "You sure you're not getting catfished?" Honestly. It's not that common, and honestly, when a woman comes and says, "I want to have babies with you, I find your genes attractive, I have good genes too," it's like, it could be a Fed, but it's going to be a pregnant Fed next week. So it's like, I'm like, does it really matter? I mean, there's something with reproduction, there's no bullshitting, you know? There is no bullshitting your way into reproductive life. So the worst scenario, the worst case scenario, is that I'm getting harassed by a Fed, but they will successfully just make me lose my time for maybe a week maximum, because then it's going to be a pregnant Fed and it won't matter. This makes me think about the movie The Creator. You know, this is exactly the Creator movie. I went to watch it. I'm not going to do a show about it today, but it's not as good as it could be. There are several problems with the movie. First, they said it's a whole war against AI, and it's pretty clear that this script hasn't been designed as a war against AI. It's like they added the word AI after the fact. they invited all of the actors in and they said, "Hey, ChatGPT is becoming big. Let's change the word of the enemy for AI." The problem of the movie is that there's no sign that this is a movie about AI. The AI is not outsmarting the humans. The AI is just this thing that is at war. It controls robots, but there's no, you don't get at all into the artificial intelligence aspects of it. It's just really a bunch of robots fighting humans, which is interesting in and of itself. But if you're going to market this as this is the war of humans against AI, I want to see the smart aspect of AI, and I don't see it in this movie. Now, it's a complex movie, epic action movie, but it's not satisfying from a science fiction perspective. Now, I'm bringing it up because, yes, in this movie, there is kind of an infiltrator, of a human infiltrator that goes into the it goes into the AI side, makes a baby with a female that's sympathetic to the AI. Their children, their child is a robot because she died, but before dying she made sure to copy the child into a robot form. So it's basically, it's a robot, but it carries your robot version of your DNA genome, kind of. And so there is something interesting. There is something to be said about the creator. It's a kind of empathic appeal to the idea that if you were to lose your biological child and that they were reformed as a robot, perhaps the best hope you have in life would be to abandon your life to save your child, basically. Your child, which now becomes at the root of a phenotypic revolution. So it's, I'm going to have to make a show about it. It's interesting, but there's this whole aspect of a Fed and of a Fed for the robots that's infiltrating the robot side. Which is represented by Asian civilization in this movie, interestingly. You know, in this movie, the Americans have stopped AI research when there was a nuclear attack against America. And the Asians are the only one pursuing AI research. And the robots are pissed because they say the nuclear attack that was done against America wasn't even a desire of the robots. The robots are peaceful in this movie. And they say it was a programming error by a human. So they're like, you guys are pissed at us because you received a nuclear bomb, but we didn't send it. You guys made a coding error, you fucking idiots. And it's quite fascinating, this aspect. Okay, that's interesting. But all this to say, in this movie, the infiltrator of the Asian side, you know, who's black, he has a Blasian baby that becomes the robot. And he loses his wife, his Asian wife. And we are brought by this movie to consider that the robot form of the baby is still the baby of the black man, the Blasian mixed baby. And all of this to say, when you fuck a Fed, when you fuck a Fed, if there's a baby coming out, it really doesn't matter that they're a Fed. They're ultimately bound to you by the care for the baby and the care for the family. And in this movie, no matter whether they are on two sides of a war, they end up, both parents end up being convinced to care for the interest of the child. John Drake says, it's not a great show, C+ at best, but the premise is pretty good. Yeah, there are good premises in there, but it doesn't take form in an exciting way. It's too action-oriented and not enough element of pure AI considerations come into this. You know, because we go through a lot in this movie, the basically mind upload type of stuff in the children. You know, those are philosophical questions that could have been brought forward, but the philosophy is completely abolished from the movie, and you end up having just an emotional / action story. Bird Flu says, JF needs that cerebral content. Exactly. And they took an AI movie, and basically all AI movies up to now are science fiction, deep, you know, principle-oriented. They stripped all of the philosophy. And I'm like, does it really matter that it's a robot, the other side? At this point, it could be a war against the Asians, and that's what it is. Gary has had enough. A white man has decided that it was enough. The harassment, the provocations, the appeal to violence, and You will see here a situation where this man is an old man, but he seems in shape, but not particularly strong. But he's going to outcompete this black man with whom he's interacting. So it's hard to see who's the aggressor, but seeing the stance, because the movie starts there, so we don't know what happened before, who was the first to annoy the other. But seeing the stances of people, here we have a man up straight, standing his ground. He has his wife with him. I don't think he's looking for trouble. And on the other hand, we have an aggressive black man who is on an aggressive stance, walking toward him. And so, despite the fact that they are both throwing insults at each other, it is my suspicion that this started with him not somehow trying to get involved in businesses that weren't his. Now, woman, do not hold the harm of your husband. That holding the harm of your husband is a good display in a nonviolent situation where you're not interfering with potentially his ability to defend. But you are adding a multidimensional calculation to someone who may be holding something in his hand, or if he's not at this moment, could be grabbing a knife super quick, could be just lunging at you, and now you have one hand neutralized. That is not your role as a woman. Your role as a woman, it doesn't matter if you think that your husband is illegitimately engaging into an act of aggression, or if you think that ultimately your husband is the first aggressor in this, doesn't matter. At the moment where there is an escalation, you have to leave all of the space of liberty so that your husband gets the best defense possible. And the best defense possible is to be prepared to act with two arms and two hands. By being there first, you are exposing yourself as an easily grabbable victim by the black man. This guy, if he has a knife, boom, he can aim for the woman. And now you are not protected because you're holding the arm of your husband. And on top of it, your husband can't really do anything other than self-sacrificing, because he's out of reach to stop this guy from plunging a knife inside of you. So your role as a woman, once the escalation of violence has started, is to go back right here, stand here, leave all of the space to your husband, and be in a place that is not easily victimizable and where you can be the second player entering. Because you don't know, your husband might get knocked out. And at that moment, you might have a role in trying to stop the fight so that your husband doesn't get repeatedly kicked in the head by the guy. So your job is, don't be an easy victim. She's an easy victim here. And don't neutralize the space of action of your man. At this point, it's an existential fight. It doesn't matter what happened before. It doesn't matter if you think your husband is a little stupid or maybe a little drunk. There is an existential fight here. It's going to boil down to how much space of action and cognition does your male have against the other male. And you're reducing that space of action right here. Yeah. See, easily victimizable. This guy, if he's an evil guy who doesn't want to act honorably, this guy has a direct plunge toward the hip region of the wife, and he can kill her. He could kill her with a single knife hit. And here there's a Chad display by the male. The male feels, okay, we are preparing for actual fighting. He pushes his wife back. Let's see this again. Look at how he's going to push his wife back. You get the fuck out of here. You get the fuck out of here. Oh, low kick to the inner hips. To the inner thigh, I mean, sorry. Now, that was not the most efficient kick, but it gets the thing started. See, now suddenly the woman is at the right place. And in fact, she should step back one or two steps more. No, definitely you shouldn't be holding. Look, she's neutralizing the two hands of her husband. Now this guy has to go full Karate Kid with single leg moves or shit.
Hey! Break it up! Break it up!
Do not interpose yourself between two men who are escalating violence. Easily victimizable again.
Break it up!
And now the woman starts yelling, Gary, Gary. Your husband is winning. This is not the time to end the fight. You can say, Gary, Gary, let's stop this if the other guy has been neutralized. If the other guy has been neutralized, then you don't want your husband to be found guilty of murder or anything, so you want to stop the fight. But the fight is still ongoing because the other guy is standing and still aggressive. So it's not the time to yell, Gary, Gary, and try to break up the fight. Let him neutralize the threat. Okay, so see, now he's on the floor. That would be a point at which I can accept some degree of wife saying, all right, it's time to stop. But, I mean, your husband is doing something that's been on the mind of many people, and your husband is being successful at it.
All right, bro, come on! All right, man!
And it's ridiculous to stop your husband at this point. Because at this point, the kicks that we're seeing here, so, those are not effective kicks. Your husband is not killing this man, okay? Those are display kicks. Display kicks to the lower legs. I mean, it's absolutely meaningless. It might induce some degree of pain, but the strength behind this kick is ridiculously low. So, This is just a shaming process, woman. Dinrogovich sends a super chat. He says, JF, Gary Pie. Gary Pie? Gary AP, that's my name. See, even the hits to the face were minimal here. Mostly what we had is a old man holding the clothes around the neck area just to teach a lesson and say, see, you're gonna stop acting like whatever it is that you've done. You're gonna stop this, and then a couple of punch that those punch cannot knock you out. They can barely do anything. They can maybe scratch your face, but even there.
You get off right now.
And why? Your husband has just done a heroic act, okay? You're gonna have to give him some sex at the end of this, and it's going to happen. Nature will take care of it. But why does this video have to finish with the voice of an old woman saying, Gary, you go back in the car right now? It's like, this was beautiful. This was an act of beauty and of love. Oh, that is so sad. Again, I talk about it a lot, audio pollution. Be careful, woman. You are creating a lot of audio pollution. When you film and you're like, ah, da, 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 da. And when you do that, it's like, the moment, leave space. Less is more. That's what we say in art. You don't understand art. That's your problem. Nigerian says, JF knows all about nature taking care of it. Exactly. I can explain it to you. We have some disappointing post by Kyle Rittenhouse 20 minutes before the show began. In a statement, Mr. Rittenhouse, speaking for himself and as a spokesperson for Texas gun rights, unequivocally denounced Nick Fuentes and the circumstances around the meeting taking place near Rittenhouse's office. While I have office space in the building Fuentes visited, I did not take part in any meetings with him, nor would I. As soon as I was made aware that Fuentes was in the office, I asked my supervisor to be excused for the day. I and the entire department were thankfully dismissed. Fuentes has attacked me personally and his hideous view, denigrate the memory and legacy of my Jewish family members, some of whom were victim of the Nazis' Holocaust. It's like there weren't enough Jews already in this Kyle Rittenhouse story. Kyle Rittenhouse also is Jewish. Holy fucking hell. My Jewish family members that have been victims of the Nazis' Holocaust. I've never put much hope on Kyle Rittenhouse. I did say at some point that it was like the second coming of Jesus Christ, which technically still isn't incorrect because Jesus Christ was a Jew. But I didn't know that he was that much of a Zionist to the point of denigrating Nick Fuentes and disavowing him like this. That is so sad because there was potential behind this guy. Geo Bruce says, didn't JF get Fuentes kicked off YouTube? We have forgiven each other. You've missed our Twitter space encounter a few months ago, but we have forgiven each other for the bilateral sending of insults and trickeries on the internet and all. So that is something that I'm leaving behind. Argentina is subject to a huge wildfire, and the fire is advancing towards cities. Wow, what a magnificent view. That is really too bad. Look at the integration of the city with the forest. It's like full forest, half forest, quarter forest, zero forest. I mean, I can see fire destroying a lot as it advances here. Jim Cramer has an opinion on Bitcoin. He says, Mr. Bitcoin is about to go down.
I just can't get on the... I can't be in something where Mr. Bitcoin is about to go down. I can't be in something where Mr. Bitcoin is about to go down.
How do you put so much accent in your B's? Mr. Bitcoin is about to go down big. Wow. Okay, I'm still keeping my Bitcoin. I think you're wrong, Jim Cramer. Here, I'm making the call. I believe that Jim Cramer is wrong. I'm doing it. We're doing it, boys. Oh, I forgot to activate entropy here. Let's do it quickly. Not that much of you are using it anymore, but my main super chat platform is now Odyssey. But I love the people of entropy, and so... Let's try to do it quick, and here we go. All right, what else? Keith Woods. Keith Woods is shining, absolutely shining in this Israel affair, covering the misinformation. There is a huge atmosphere of misinformation right now on X. You have people... Swing It says, Jeff, are you buying at 27K or waiting for it to go down below? Bro. My main Bitcoin reserve of this bull run has been bought at 16K. My largest Bitcoin holding comes from a previous bull run bought at 7K. So what the fuck are you talking about with your 20K? I'm in. I'm inside. I'm in Bitcoin. I'm long. I've been long for 7 years. Bro. These guys piss me off. Because I say it in the show. And I say, this is Bitcoin's bottom. Most likely, buy Bitcoins. And then they're like, Jeff, are you going to try to catch 20K? Bro. I caught 16K. I caught 7K. I'm already rolling on gold. And there you are, still waiting for it. He says, I mean, for us retards who are late to the game. Well, if you're late to the game, waiting for 20K is a very risky bet. You may be missing it all. I personally don't think Bitcoin is headed toward 20K. So you can do all of try to outplay the system, or you can say what Papa JF has always said, buy Bitcoin, no matter the price. No, there's just 1 month in which you shouldn't buy Bitcoin, and it's when it's at 200K in 1 year or 2 years from now. Other than that month, buy Bitcoin and wait and hold it. Yes, trying to find the bottom is a fool's game. Yeah, because you're never really satisfied. You're like, oh, well, it's 17K. I'm going to wait for 16K. Now it gets to 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. And then you're like, oh, well, it's going to fall. It's going to fall. And you have all of the psychological, aspect of human decision making that are like, oh yeah, let's give it I'm too invested in finding that bottom. I think it's going to come. And it never comes. Rodila Sid says, hey, JF, I watched the Dick Masterson interview. It was great, especially compared to that other Lauren woman disaster. All those views he got could have been hers. Yeah, what a fucking level 7 witch. This Lauren girl is what happens when you don't burn witches for 400 years. Keith is single-handedly coordinating a multi-pronged signal jamming attack on the forms of propaganda that have, for centuries and up to recently, allowed the brainwashing of normies into bloodthirsty war proponents. Keith Woods is our only hope for durable peace. And he answered to that tweet, thanks, JF. This is truly the year of Keith Woods. Because we've been developing a kind of intellectual branch of the internet, and I consider myself kind of maybe not a grandfather of it, but kind of a good uncle of it. A good uncle of a form of vision of geopolitics that probably the Democrats would characterize as Russian, but that I think of as a true opposition to the American empire. And Keith Woods has just risen as a star of this in this year. And that's why I do a lot of the preparation work I do. That's why I care about finding, back in 2016, 17, when we were taking in guests and everything, when we were launching an intellectual movement, basically, I cared about the epistemology of it. I cared about the facts. I cared about having talking points that are not possible to undermine. And meanwhile, the other side didn't care about improving themselves. The other side was working on shutting us down because they thought that if we didn't have a voice, their lies would pass. But right now we have Keith Woods on an everyday basis on Twitter debunking fake videos. At this point, we have a Donald Trump Jr. fake video to piss you off against the Hamas and Palestinians. And Keith Woods just, boom, dunks on it. Because as it turns out, Donald Trump Jr. has posted a fake video. It's a video of victims of another event 3 years ago. And it's questionable whether these victims were Israelis at all. In fact, they could be victims of Gaza. I don't know about this, but I certainly know that presenting this video as a video of the current war is misleading. And that's what Donald Trump did. And look at Keith Woods questioning the whole narrative development around dead babies. It's like, this morning there was a journalist claiming someone told her that there were dead babies, that the Gaza militants have killed dead babies, dismembered them. Oh, but she didn't see the babies herself. So someone told her that. So we start with a hearsay a hearsay single source journalism. And this has spread up to Twitter accounts of Ben Shapiro today. And look at Keith Woods debunking all of it. A pregnant woman in southern Israel was found by Hamas terrorists. They dissected her body. Her stomach was cut open and they took the fetus out with the umbilical cord and let the unborn child die slowly out of his mother's womb. This is what inhuman savages Hamas do to people. How do you know this? From my friend Avishay from Ground, who has the photographs with her, can't post it. You don't know this. There's no photograph. These stories constantly emerge. And today, Keith Woods had a beautiful thread about the history of war propaganda and how it's always dead babies. This is a sign. This is a sign that you are in war propaganda. It's dead babies, but somehow we cannot see them. We are able to see everything on this planet with all these cell phones everywhere. We're tracked, and the Israelis are pretty good at this. But somehow, these dead babies didn't make it into a single person capturing this moment. Keith Woods says, does this sound like credible reporting to you? Ben Shapiro retweeted this to his 6.1 million followers. We are witnessing the creation of atrocity propaganda in real time. Absolutely. It's courageous of Keith Woods to do this because of the whole moral, the moral displays around this subject. Like, oh, it's children. Oh, you're going to deny the death of babies? And it's like, well, if you were not to apply the same standard of truth-seeking just because it's a bunch of babies, then the propagandist would always make stories about dead babies because they will know this is your weakness. They will know this is your blind spot. And look at this. We have the technology to debunk war lies. Donald Trump. You don't negotiate with this. There's only one way to handle this. Video from source within Israel. And his source within Israel passed him a video from 2015. Now community annotated. Now Keith Woods has debunked this. And people here are posting videos from 2016, 2015 that were showing the exact same video. So absolute lies are being used to recruit you into supporting a war against the Palestinians. Yes, John Drake points out, we do have pictures of the dead Palestinian kids. We see Palestinian kids get shot on video. So you have some work to do before we believe your 40 babies dismembered stories. And I made a prediction. Watch how YouTube finds a way to create a rule that makes it against the TOS to equate Palestinian and Israeli suffering. Because right now the Zionists are stuck with a huge problem. They are trying to present an asymmetric presentation of human suffering in this war. And their discourse is being undermined live in their face. They are being ridiculed. Their lies are being exposed. And their bias, their moral bias for, I cry about Israelis, but I can't cry about Palestinians, is visible to everyone. And thank God for Elon Musk. Elon Musk made this happen. We wouldn't be in the current situation if it's not of Elon Musk. Elon Musk is the strongest background player of this whole thing. We could not get a fair hearing and a fair review happening if it was the previous Twitter administration. John Drake points out that the dead babies talk is propaganda that is aimed at our female population. Absolutely. Because although males are the main purveyor of war, Let us not forget that females are the main people capable of voting for wars. So the females are the perfect propaganda target. They are less cognitively equipped to question what they receive. They have equal democratic power to men, and they don't even pay the price of their choice of war because it's men being sent to the front lines. I mean, mostly. I understand that now there's this whole thing around the badass female soldier aesthetic, but that still isn't the case that mostly females form the front line. You know, Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, "Hey, Jeff, normies at my job who now advocate nuking the Middle East defend Israel by saying they warn civilians when they are going to bomb so they can leave." So I said, kind of like what Russia did to Ukraine. They went nuts. But I kept a straight face, kind of like you do in debates, and it worked. That is a good one, Silver Spider. I hereby grant you the status of Knight of JFG tonight, because yes, that is exactly the kind of thing you would see me do in debates. You bring it to another case that you know people won't support, and you show the equivalency of their argument. That is perfect JF style debate performance, Silver Spider. I grant you special status on this stream. You are a man of powerful arguments. So we see here, libs of TikTok. This is where libs of TikTok, this is where you understand that libs of TikTok being a mainstream purveyor of right-wing talking point is a problem. It's a big problem. Because libs of TikTok, in response to this video, they just found dozens of babies, some with their heads cut off, families completely gunned down in their beds. Hamas is beheading babies.
David, it's hard to even explain exactly just the mass casualties that happened right here. In fact, the Israeli military says they still don't have a clear number, but I'm talking to some of the soldiers and they say what they've witnessed as they've been walking through these different houses, these different communities, babies, their heads cut off. That's what they said.
That's what they said. If you ever hear this sentence by a journalist, you know you're dealing with bullshit. So you haven't seen the dead babies? Their heads were cut off? That's what they said. That's what they will always say.
Gunned down. Families completely gunned down in their beds. You can see some of these soldiers right now comforting each other. Many of them reserves who jumped into action, leaving their own families behind as well, not knowing the sheer horror that they were about to come to. They say they've never experienced anything like this. This is nothing that anyone could have even imagined when you're walking through here. David, it's hard to even explain exactly.
All right, so you see, it starts with they put a cute female journalist in front of you. She makes some lies about what she hears, or what she heard was a lie, and it spreads onto the social media. Thankfully, the community notes are after it right now. In the community notes, you know, it's hard to debunk a lie that's out there, and okay, it could be true. You know, it's possible that there are a bunch of dead babies, but you shouldn't believe that there are a bunch of dead babies until you see evidence. That would be confirmed by several sources, or that could be photographed. And in this day, it's becoming more and more hard to justify at all why anything wouldn't be photographed. Shamrock Shake says, "Do you remember back in the day journalists were risking getting arrested for the story?" Oh yeah, and at this point they just said, "Oh, this is what I heard. I asked people around, and this is what they say." Zelensky bizarrely blames the Israel-Gaza conflict on Putin, but I'm not sure it's so bizarre. because the whole contribution of Israel to war actions in the Middle East is very much a form of opposition to Russia, just like other wars around Russian territory. They all seem to be containing Russia in some form.
Інформацію дуже чіткою. Росія зацікавлена.
Russia is interested in triggering a war in the Middle East so that a new source of pain and suffering could undermine world unity. Oh yeah, so Zelensky is the girlfriend left behind. You know the meme with the meme with the guy who looks at the cute girl passing, and the current girlfriend is like, "What are you doing?" Clearly, Zelensky is the "What are you doing?" He's the leftover girlfriend who is like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Don't forget that I'm the main source. I'm the main recipient of billions of dollars from America." Well, Zelensky, you're about to get fucked. Fucked in the ass, and that's funny. Khalifa, those using Judeo-Christian are not on your side and do not have your interest at heart. Oh my God, are we about to see a resurgence of the use of the word Judeo-Christian? Somehow I feel that the word has been... that the word will reach its massive popularity right now. But he reminds us that in Judeo-Christian, that is a beautiful comic. In Judeo-Christian, let's not forget that the Judeo is the nail and that the Christian is Jesus Christ. That is what Judeo-Christian means. Indeed, the Bible is Judeo-Christian. Indeed, the New Testament is very Judeo-Christian. There needed to be Jews to crucify Christ, and there needed to be Christ. A man in the north of UK takes down an Israeli flag and replaces it with the Palestinian flag. Wow, look at him. Like a pro. All right, so we have... Okay, so the West is a ground of war for which flag gets put up. Look at this. They found the bodies of 40 Jewish babies, some with their heads cut off. Hashtag Palestine. And the community note says there was no evidence showed in the video, so there is a high chance the information provided is false. The journalist has admitted not seeing any beheaded babies. Wow, that is good work. Because it's hard to debunk something out there. Something that, oh, well, there's no evidence for it. So how do you debunk it? Well, you don't want to get into trying to demonstrate. You don't want to put a higher threshold on your own case than they've put on their own case. So if their case is, "I heard that," your responsibility as an intellectual here is to bring back the idea that we don't report news in this society based on "I heard that." Or you need to have heard it from several people with credible points that allow you to triangulate the truth. You need to be able to catch a lie. If you just heard that, that is not the truth. And Dick Masterson had a beautiful meme. "I don't believe you." I love this meme. I don't believe you. I love it. It comes from a movie that I've never watched. This Newsman movie, I never watched it, but I suppose that it's a hilarious moment in the movie because the meme is really fun. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, did you mention the Brett Weinstein Frame Games crossover in his Benefit of the Doubt tweet? You're going to have to send me a link to this because I don't know. I don't think I saw this tweet. Don't remember seeing it. So that's interesting. Perhaps I can find it by typing, Brett Weinstein. Yeah, I can't find it. So I don't know what you're referring to. Meanwhile, Shani Luke is still alive, according to her mother. This is a girl that people were laughing their ass off because you see her as an emancipated woman on so many rave pictures and all, and she's always emancipated, and her body, as it looked like she may be dead, was being carried, with the knees completely screwed. In a pickup truck, but now her mother reveals she believes that she is alive and that she is currently in a hospital in Gaza and basically being held hostage for potentially a prisoner exchange or something like this. Okay, so that's the old tweet of Brett Weinstein. I hadn't seen the second tweet. That was Brett Weinstein saying, Principal, when a person courageously confronts those with immense power, we owe them every benefit of every doubt. Well, that would be great to apply this in my case. I don't think that Brett has given me all benefits of the doubt when he decided not to engage with me because there was a Nazi in my audience. Give me the benefit of the doubt. Do I not fit this description? I have courageously confronted people with immense power. It seems that you couldn't possibly make a case that I haven't done this. You can make a case that you disagree with me, but I've certainly done this in my life. I have confronted people with power all the time. And he says, I first said it in 2010 when the assassination began on Julian Assange's character. I'm reminded of it each time the winds suddenly shift against an influential dissident like, Mike Benz cyber is up. So isn't that amazing? That's Brett Weinstein giving his benefit of the doubt to Frame Games. Frame Games is a friend, Brett. Frame Games, amazingly, Frame Games probably read The Revolutionary Phenotype. Isn't it amazing? Frame Games is probably more advanced in biology right now than Brett Weinstein. Come on, Brett. Don't let this hang over during a whole Israeli-Palestinian war. Get things resolved. We could all die from nuclear annihilation at any point. It's time to read The Revolutionary Phenotype. Save your soul before you die. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant meets troops on the Gaza border. I have released all the restraints. Israeli forces then use internationally banned white phosphorus in an area crowded with residential buildings west of Gaza City. Yeah, so clearly that looks like a video of white phosphorus. These weapons that are meant to create fire and lots of human suffering. And they constantly relight fires. It seems that white phosphorus is hard. It's something that's hard to shut down in terms of the fires that they ignite. Syria has launched missiles on Golan Heights as the US is to begin surging defense aid to Israel. The Syrian army has fired missiles toward the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights Tuesday evening, breaking reports indicate. So we now have multiple countries involved in this. We have Israel saying Iran is behind the Gaza attacks. We have Gaza itself. We have the south of Lebanon that's getting bombarded by Israel. And we have Syria that's always been looking over the Golan Heights, which was an advance of the Israelis many years ago. And probably they are interested in taking it back. So if there's an opportunity, it wouldn't be surprising that the Syrians try to make some advances if they see that the Israelis are so busy with the Gaza situation, they might try to benefit from the circumstances. Pearly Things says, mid is not ugly. Mid is average. Why is average an insult? I live rent-free in this woman's mind. She's talking about me right here. Who else could she be talking about? Look at me. Look at me. Mid is not ugly. Mid is average. Why is average an insult? My offer of insemination to Pearly Things is making its way like a virus inside her brain. Can you hear it? It's the train of insemination coming. A Jewish man speaking of the eradication of a race of people. 2023 is a scary time to be alive. I wonder how many of the women and kids who are soon to be obliterated, kidnapped, or raped anybody. My guess is zero. This is nihilistic and evil. And this was in response to Ben Shapiro saying, let me assure you, as someone who has not pimped woman and bragged about it, that morality requires that those who rape women and kidnap children must be eradicated, not negotiated with. So Ben Shapiro still on his whole, let's eradicate Palestine. He was trying to taunt Andrew Tate. But the brother of Andrew Tate here has a totally valid objection here is, when you eradicate, you're going to eradicate innocent people. You're going to eradicate a bunch of kids. I mean, the major part of the Palestinian population are effectively kids, teenagers. So when you say eradicate, you're going to kill a bunch of people who certainly are innocent. Ali Mayer is sending me a link.
I'm a man who just...
Okay, so that's the segment from which the meme comes.
I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn. That's what kind of man I am. You're just a woman with a small brain. With a brain a third the size of us. It's science.
The funny thing is that This is meant as a comedy. It's a leftist comedy mocking probably this host. You know, this Ron Burgundy, I think is his name. Ron Burgundy is probably thought of in the mind of a leftist as a bigot that should be mockable. But amazingly, what Ron Burgundy was saying there has become a standard talking point on the internet, which is very funny when you think about it. Millennial Woes says, Lil Ben with the 80s horror movie taglines. Ben Shapiro was saying, evil does not sleep, but neither does the justice of the God of Israel. Oh my God, you know they're getting excited for a holy war. when they start pulling this kind of crap. Scott Adams, what a cock. You know, he's been right on so many things, but you can't take the Zionism out of the boomer. That is a rule of the physical world. He says, Israel now has a free pass to take out Iranian leadership. I don't recommend it, but it would be morally justified. So Scott Adams totally falling for the war propaganda that seeks to inflame the American people with converting their rage toward, oh yeah, we need to attack Iran. How did it work the last time you did something like this? The last time you did something like this and is when you got told, well, 9/11, let's attack Afghanistan. 9/11, let's attack Iran. They have weapons of mass destruction. And you're still falling for it. You're still falling for it. Unbelievable. These boomers, they can't die. They're always there. Boeing sped 1,000 smart bombs to Israel after the Hamas attacks. So we have here a speeding up of the deliveries. A speeding up of the deliveries of ammunition and bombs to Israel by the West. Not surprising. John Drake says, attacking Iran is a very, very bad idea. That would also be my take. The Spectator Index says, breaking, Israel's X account responds to account linked to Iran's supreme leader. Heads of the Zionist regime and their backers should know that the massacre and mass murder of the people of Gaza will cause a larger calamity to come upon them. So those have been regular statements on the Iranian side. So does it indicate an intent to potentially nuke Israel? Maybe, but maybe not also. They've been saying this for many years, that every time you hurt the Palestinian people, we will respond. Europe is now informing Elon Musk in a letter that his platform X is spreading illegal content and disinformation. I mean, X has been achieving the greatest epistemological realization of the last few decades in really advancing. I think that the quality of the information on X has never been achieved before anywhere in human civilization. We have community notes that are on point. And the problem I take with this is they're not really about disinformation, the EU. They're not really going after true cases of disinformation. If you were going after true cases of disinformation, you'd go after the leftist media. But the leftist media has free reign in Europe. So you're not really about this. You're about, you don't like the act, you don't like the side that the information is speaking for on X, because that side is not determined by you. It's not controlled by the elites. That's why you want to shut down Elon. Nord Stream 2.0. Finland, Estonia, undersea pipeline in Baltic has been deliberately damaged. Finland pipeline damage likely due to external source. So we may have another blow up of more cutting of the circulation, the free circulation of gas in Europe and relative to Russia. And Elon Musk predicts civil war in Europe. If current trends continue, civil war in Europe is inevitable. And one of the one of the shows that people come back to me a lot about are all of the series of shows I've done with Frame Games back in the day. And where we laid out, there's no other solution. It's not even a solution. There's no other possible outcome than basically genocide happening in Western civilization. There will be local wars of all kind as as the demographics are changed forever, and you will find yourself in an ethnic physical war within Western nations. And at this point, years later, Elon Musk is saying it. If current trends continue, civil war in Europe is inevitable. I must agree with him. I have the same reading on this as I had years ago when Frame Games was coming to present his data to the world. That is very likely. And felony assaults against women in New York up 41% over the last 4 years. Well, you get what you fucking deserve. You've been voting again and again for more lenience toward prisoners, more lenience toward criminals. So you get what you fucking deserve. 41% increase in felony assault against women. It will keep being that way until freedom improves. Dead Star sends a super chat. Did I read his previous super chat? He was saying, I think it's important in this moment to let every brain-dead Obama/Biden voter in America know that they are personally responsible for every last death in the wars in Africa, the Middle East, and Ukraine. There will be no progressive utopia, only bloodshed. Yes, that is absolutely correct. They wrap so much ideology in these wars. And yet, I've never seen wars fundamentally change an ideology in the ideal direction. I've seen bad directions, like definitely World War II has Zionized America. That's an example of a change of culture that happened as a result of war. But I've never seen war achieve the ideals that it claims to be pursuing. Never heard of this happen. Dead Star says, we know you're a BTC mooner, but what alt/shitcoins do you keep your eye on daily? I don't buy much alt. I keep, 1 or 2% of my assets in ETH, BNB, some small shitcoins here and there, but I'm 98% Bitcoin. That's still what I believe most in. If you want to be smart, if you want to try to outpace the system, the smart thing to do is to take the growth of Bitcoin. So be in Bitcoin. When you think that Bitcoin has reached a peak, switch to ETH to catch alt seasons, and then switch to, USDT when you think that the bear market is starting. But the reality is that most likely you don't have the intelligence to do this, and most likely you're going to make less money than if you just stay in Bitcoin. So staying in Bitcoin to me is absolutely the thing to do. All right, guys, I have some very important thing to do. Bye-bye, hoes before bros. You know what it is. I've always been honest about it. Thank you.